They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, I am thrilled to have the beautiful, smiling Martha Bonetta sitting across the board from me. It's always a treat to be with Martha. It's especially a treat to have her in the studio with me. Martha, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much. And Sue, I want to let you know how much your voice means to so many people. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to be here with you. And thank you for everything you do, for providing a voice for so many that otherwise wouldn't have one. And we really appreciate everything you've done here in Virginia.
You are a role model. You don't need my show. You've been all over the country. Mm-hmm. You've been on all the major networks. Mm-hmm. And everybody is out talking to you, wanting to hear from you, mm-hmm. wanting to know what you're doing. But you've got an absolutely amazing story, and we're going to get into that. We're mm-hmm. going to start talking about that. But first, give us a little bit of an overview.
Sure. I mean, you know, my family, it was my childhood dream to be a farmer. And I grew up in Virginia in Mount Vernon. My mom had, you know, backyard kitchen gardens. And from there really grew this love of the land and this wanting to produce locally produced food, organic food, to provide a sanctuary for livestock, to really embrace farming in a rural agrarian way of life. And so 8 years ago, that dream became reality. We purchased Liberty Farm in Paris, Virginia, and I never dreamed that we would sacrifice so much and put so much of our love and our passion for farming and our resources into this land to then at the end of the day be confronted with so much tyrannical overregulation and abusive authority that would really, you know, step on freedom and the ability to be entrepreneurial, the ability to pursue your dreams, the ability to work hard and achieve your dreams, particularly on farmland, because our family farms are near and dear to all of us as Virginians and across the country. They help family farmers help build our great nation. And confronting that type of overregulation is something that we're seeing all over the country. In my case, we had a birthday party for 8 10-year-old little girls, and the county zoning administrator sent a notice threatening us with up to $15,000 a day, $5,000 per violation, if we continue to engage in what family farmers have engaged in since forever. And so we were heartbroken. And from there really began a journey. And that journey would ultimately lead to passing legislation in the Virginia General Assembly. And I'm very honored and humbled that I'm the namesake for one of the bills in particular that's pretty well known. And that legislation is now a model for legislation in every state all across the nation.
I love it.
And that bill is nicknamed the Bonetta Bill. But what the bill does is it provides protections for farmland zoned rural agricultural, and that's the key. If you're zoned rural agricultural, you're protected to engage in traditional farming practices, which includes commerce, the ability to sell to your neighbor and engage in, you know, things like apple picking, hay rides, pumpkin carvings, things like that on your farm, without the threat of the county government coming in and requiring site plans, special exception permits, administrative permits, fees. Really preventing the county from preventing small family farmers from being able to farm in peace and farm without fear. And I'm very honored to have been a part of that process. And it's been an incredible blessing. People reach out to me from all over the nation and they're hopeful that their states will soon have the same legislation on board.
Well, one of the words that you used before we got started on the show is the word bullying, because mm-hmm. that's something that seems to be all over the place now. Mm-hmm. Just about every petty little bureaucrat or anybody with some perceived power has become a bully.
Indeed, absolutely, and absolutely, and I can speak to that. You know, property rights stands on the shoulders, and I should say liberty and freedom stand on the shoulders of property rights. And what's happening is that we're getting these elected officials on the county level, and in my case, it was the local county working hand in hand with an environmental group. And we've talked about the environmental group before, and the environmental group was imposing land use regulations on all of the citizens in the county and really controlling and working hand in hand with the county in such a way that that members of my board of supervisors in my local county were actually discussing how to get my mortgage called in on my family farm as a way to obtain our farm, as a way to kick us off the farm. Strategizing, how do we engage local government or quasi-government agencies to go after my family, to force us off the land. We've had Virginia Department of Transportation. We've had the county zoning. We've had animal control. We've had, you know, all different types of harassment on almost a daily basis to, you know, force our family to want to leave the farm. And, you know, it's my faith in God and my family and my friends and my love of our country and the American dream, and that kept me from you know, feeling threatened to the point where we would leave and we would sacrifice everything we had worked so hard for. And that bullying, it happens every single day all across our country in varying degrees.
And you were subject to the bullying as well.
Constantly. It was, what are they going to do to me next? Living in fear. I mean, really farming in fear. That's what it was. It was the incredible hubris that happens when somebody is in power. This environmental group felt like they had, you know, no oversight whatsoever. They felt like they had the authority to really control and harass and bully to the point where, you know, there were days when I would just, you know, think to myself, how much more of this can I take? On one such occasion, we had college students coming to our farm to learn about animal husbandry and farming. And that's something beautiful that as a society and a culture we should embrace. We should be encouraging and helping foster a love of farming. And something very innocent as having college students during spring break volunteer on our farm was interrupted and assaulted because this environmental group working in collusion with these realtors, Phil and Patty Thomas, working with the county, sent three armed sheriffs to my farm to interrogate the students. They wanted to know what they were doing there, what their names were, what their phone numbers were, what schools they were from,
You're kidding.
Where they were staying, what their emails were. And when you get to the point where on your own property that you've worked so hard for, when you've worked to achieve the American dream, and you've got innocent college students that are taking time away from whatever else they could be doing to come to a farm to learn about animal husbandry, to learn about how to grow organic vegetables, to learn where honey comes from, and you're going to send armed sheriffs to, you know, have them line up and collect all of their information, it's an atrocity.
So who sent the sheriffs?
The realtors that I had mentioned previously had contacted their one of the board of directors named Peter Schwartz, who was formerly on the executive board of directors for the Piedmont Environmental Council, which incidentally, he never disclosed or recused himself from any of the matters dealing with my farm. He instead insisted on being a party to the ongoing hearings and so forth and matters before the county regarding my farm, even though he was intimately involved in the acquisition of my farm, in the environmental easement on the farm, to the point where he drafted the language. All of these things would have precluded him and prevented him from being a party to anything having to do with my farm in his capacity as a supervisor. And he's an attorney and knows better.
Oh, I don't know about these attorneys.
Yeah.
Some of them, it makes you wonder.
And I think through all of this, what I learned is that, you know, unlike the government that is transparent in the sense that they're subject to the Freedom of Information Act and have certain checks and balances, I mean, granted, they don't always all come to fruition like they should.
Yeah.
These land trusts that I believe started off as a good intention. I mean, I love the land, and I consider small family farmers to be the greatest conservationists around. And yet they have no oversight, no transparency, and no accountability to anyone. Really, they don't. Except for arguably the IRS, or at least they should, because they're a 501c3 nonprofit. And to discover that there was no oversight whatsoever, no accountability to the American people, and they receive millions and millions of dollars a year, and to understand and learn that in my case, they had actually created a non-existent historic designation on my farm.
That you told me about that.
Yeah, they advertised on the World Wide Web that my farm was not just any farm, not just any farm, because there's lots of farms for sale. My farm was the heart of Stonewall Jackson's bivouac. That Stonewall Jackson himself slept and encamped in an oak, in a grove of trees on my farm, which made it more valuable. And so I want you to think about that. Here we have a land trust that is entrusted by the American people, by the government, that receives special tax exemption status, that's able to fundraise and receive substantial amount of money, millions of dollars. And they're advertising a property as a major significant Civil War designation of Stonewall Jackson in order to sell the property. My family innocently purchased the farm. We invested our savings, our love, and our passion into the land, only to find out that there is no proof whatsoever that Stonewall Jackson was ever on our farm.
And didn't they make you fence off the
section? Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
And basically robbed you of the use?
Absolutely. Complete trespass. My family feels like we've been robbed. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, here we have a land trust that is still in operation. And yet they trespassed on my farm. They forced us to fence off a substantial amount of our farm, claiming that it was hallowed ground. And yet, lo and behold, at the end of the day, there's no proof or evidence of that whatsoever. Now, that's not to say that, you know, Stonewall Jackson or his brigade or the troops didn't go through that area.
You just have no proof of it.
But yeah, but that's different than advertising and selling a farm as being the exact designation.
So if they don't want you to have the farm, why did they sell it to you?
Exactly. Place? That's exactly right. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, this is power gone wild. It's power that is completely out of control. There's no oversight, no transparency to the American people that fund these organizations. And they work hand in hand, in my case, with a supervisor, an elected official that was formerly on their executive board, and with realtors. And it's a sad day in America when this type of thing takes place year after year after year. And the arrogance, the documentation is a mile long. And the ability of this organization to continue is unfathomable. And yet this is happening every single day.
Now, Heather Richards, she was with the IRS at one point, wasn't she?
Oh, Peggy Richardson. Peggy Richardson was. And she's still on the board of directors, the executive board of directors for the organization.
So there's a YouTube of Heather Richards on your farm.
It's Peggy. Oh, Heather Richards. Yes. Heather Richards was the vice president of the Piedmont Environmental Council. Mm-hmm.
And so she was there wanting to go through your closets?
Yes. It was, imagine working hard to fulfill your family dream of being a farmer, having a farm. People, when you think of the American dream, you know, in our nation, you can work really hard and you can achieve your dream. And to have this farm, and then to time and time and time again be confronted by a hostile inspector demanding to inspect your bathrooms, your toilets, your showers, your kitchens, your closets, your cupboards.
What was she looking for?
Well, we asked, what do you think is in the closet? I don't have to tell you. I don't know what's in it, but I want to know what's in it. And to experience that type of humiliation was devastating. And to this day, watching that video, it is painful because it reminds me that there is so much injustice in this world, that our property rights are being ripped from us, and that family farmers are being strangled off the land by tyrannical overregulation. In this case, this particular individual had no right whatsoever to be demanding to inspect intimate details, intimate corners, intimate crevices of our farm structures.
Yet she was standing there absolutely insistent. And I have to tell you guys, we're talking to Martha Bonetta. I have nothing but the greatest admiration for you.
Thank
I
you.
Have never, ever seen you look mad. You have always had this absolutely glorious smile on your face. There must have been times when you felt like kicking and punching and screaming and wringing a few necks. Mm-hmm. I know I would have, but you never showed it.
No, and I get asked that quite a bit. You know, I've been speaking quite a bit all across Virginia and in different parts of the country, and I'm often asked, you know, how do you do it? How do you stay so positive? And I think that a lot of that comes from my faith, from my love of our country, from the support of the community that really gives me hope. And that I, you know, I really, as I live and breathe, you know, I believe in the American dream. I believe in truth, justice, and the American way. And I kept believing and praying that eventually there would be justice, that eventually my family would be able to have peace on our land and be able to farm in peace without the threat, constant threat of what was going to happen next.
Are you farming in peace now?
Well, we're trying. We really are. It's, you know, I'll tell you, this particular group did some really egregious acts that far exceeded their authority. And they got away with it for so long, and they have yet to acknowledge their wrongdoing.
Oh, they won't?
No.
There's just something about people who do that.
Yeah.
Who will blame you.
Right.
You are beyond, you're above reproach, because you have never, ever, ever done anything that I've ever seen that anyone could point your finger up and say, oh, well, she shouldn't have said that.
Mm-hmm.
You've never done that. And that's why I think that you are the ultimate role model for everybody who's being targeted and bullied by anybody, whether it's a government agency, a commission, or a homeowners association.
Mm-hmm.
You have always exemplified the absolute perfection in dealing with
it. I'm humbled by that. No, thank you. I think if I can perhaps give, you know, from my experience, I just never want anybody to, I don't want any family farmer anywhere, any landowner anywhere, to have to suffer and experience what my family has. And most of all, I don't want anybody to give up or lose hope or lose faith, because, you know, don't give up, you know, never, ever, ever give up, no matter what. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's about protecting and preserving our most fundamental rights. And that includes the ability to possess property and to have quiet enjoyment and peace on your property and within those walls on your property. And, you know, never, ever give up. And to know that, you know, there are people that care and that really want to see justice and believe in the American dream just like we do. And to that extent, thousands and thousands and thousands of Virginians and Americans rallied behind our cause to get us the kind of support and help that we needed. And I'm eternally grateful. How do you thank thousands of people you may never, ever meet ever in your life?
I think you inspired people, because so often I think a lot of people are afraid of standing up and standing with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think your courage and your positive attitude and your huge smile inspired people to stand with you and say, all right, Martha, we've got your back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, too, you know, there are good people in the government. There really are. And there are people that stood up.
No, I shouldn't say that.
But there are. There really are. There are people in the Virginia General Assembly that stood up and said that we needed this legislation. And we needed it because it was good, not just for my family, but for everyone.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. You also inspired a number of bills that would provide the oversight.
Yes.
Much needed oversight. Tell us about those.
And since that time, I'm sitting on a congressional committee. It's a round table. It's a round table committee that it's a property rights caucus round table that includes organizations that have representation, you know, all over the country, and that are focused on property rights. And so, you know, we have convened on the Hill It's under a congressman that is running the caucus roundtable. And it's an opportunity to discuss ideas on how we can possibly shape legislation to provide protections for property rights that we're seeing trespassed on every day from all different types of different places. And one of the joys and honors and blessings that I had was working with others to provide legislation where there would be some type of oversight somewhere for these land trusts. I mean, one of the most devastating realities for us was that all of these horrible things were happening. They were, you know, colluding and conspiring with county officials, with realtors, you know, all of these terrible things were happening. And yet there was no oversight. There was no transparency, no accountability. Yeah. And it was stunning, really. And to believe that could even be the case when it's our tax dollars that fund these organizations. So I was very, very inspired to witness what happened in Richmond, where we were able to work together with not just property rights groups or the farming community, but also with land trusts themselves that realized there was an issue and that came together and we crafted legislation that allows for a board in Richmond to hear these issues as they arise and provide an opportunity for a mediation that would allow for the issue to be resolved. And that is the first step toward truly having protections for the farmer landowner.
Let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. This is kind of dumb, but in a country that has always prided itself in freedom and in ownership, why do we need government telling you that you have a right to farm your land? I mean, isn't this what this country was founded on?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'll tell you, Virginia is one of the best states in the nation to be a farmer. It has a very strong Right to Farm Act. And so you would think, you know, we as Virginians, we love our agriculture. It is the largest producer of jobs in our state. It produces hundreds of thousands of jobs, puts billions of dollars into our economy. And we're very proud of Virginia's agricultural heritage. And yet, in my case, what was happening was that the county was choosing to exceed their authority, in fact, violating the state's right to farm laws and working hand in hand with an environmental group that was literally imposing restrictions that made farming almost unattainable.
I'm going to try to tie in something else. There's this notion that it's not smart growth. We have to have smart growth because if you have all these high-rises, if you look around here, I mean, everything is just going up in the sky. Right. And we're getting rid of anything that's at ground level and a little more human. But this increases the tax revenue to the county. Are you going to see something like that? Is part of this an idea that eventually they want your farm because they want to turn it into a high-rise condo canyon? Or
Well, in my case, and I'll tell you, it was absolute power out of control. It was a group of individuals that decided that they didn't like that we were engaging in our traditional family farm practices on our farm, and that they were determined that they knew what was best for our family to do on our farm, and that they wanted to exceed and violate property rights that belonged to our family. And in terms of, you know, what vision they had for the property, you know, I can't speak to that now, but I can tell you that we produce raw honey from our hives. We grow herbs, and we grow beautiful vegetables that we don't spray at all. We don't put any pesticides or herbicides on them. We're also a home to 285 animals. We produce hay, and we also produce fiber from our herds of sheep, alpaca, and llama. And we produce eggs from our chickens, ducks, turkeys, and emu eggs are magnificent. They're big and green and sparkly. And
I've seen pictures of them. You're holding them, both hands.
Right. But you would think that what my family is doing, we leave a very small footprint. We're, we make our own compost. We love the land, that we would be embraced as from this particular environmental group. And instead, we were bullied and attacked. They abused their power and authority, and yet we are doing everything that they purport to want to see happen in rural agricultural America. And I think, too, we have to be careful as a nation, because there are wolves in sheep's clothing. There are those that you know, purport to be something that they're not.
They're not.
And it's important that we're able to see through that facade, which is why it's so important that many of these organizations are subject to the same transparency and accountability as a government agency would be, because they use our tax dollars.
Are these state funded or federally funded?
Both.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're both.
Both. In Virginia, the conservation program is a very robust program, and in fact, it does do a lot of good. We have some beautiful parks in our state. For example, there's one right near our farm that wouldn't exist without the program, and it allows for families and individuals to come from all over the state to enjoy the natural resources in these parks. I mean, the parks are funded through the state. But when there's an organization that is not accountable to anyone, you know, there's no transparency, there's no accountability, well, it's ripe for abuses.
Now, Heather Richards, the lady who was on camera mm-hmm. wanting to go through your closets and God knows what else, mm-hmm. is no longer there, is she?
That's my understanding.
She's mm-hmm. gone.
My understanding, she's no longer there.
Sayonara, Heather.
Mm-hmm.
There was also some talk about them wanting to put cameras.
Yes,
and to film guests and visitors to the farm.
The same individual that you mentioned, who was Heather Richards, who was a vice president with the Piedmont Environmental Council, she had sent a request, an email, to have 24/7 video surveillance cameras installed, so that
by what right?
Right, because she said that one of their board of supervisors, one of their board of directors for the PEC owned a surveillance company.
Yeah,
and therefore wanted to know or have the ability or the power to install video surveillance cameras to spy on my family and friends and on my farm. I cannot begin to tell you how violated my family felt to learn that. It is a gross violation of private property, a gross violation of privacy. And, you know, to think that was even contemplated is a disgrace. And it's devastating to know that there are individuals that have so much power to obtain and be an overseer of vast amounts of land, that would even consider seriously wanting to spy on landowners and family farmers is just absolutely devastating. I mean, it is heartbreaking. When I first learned of this, I thought, this is beyond anything I ever imagined possible. You know, not in America, not in Virginia, you know, not in our rural agricultural, bucolic countryside. I mean, this can't be happening. And to learn that they went to that level.
What makes people think of stuff like that?
Exactly. That's exactly right. It's a gross violation of power. I mean, it is a gross violation of power.
It's a sick mind that even would think of that. And speaking of sick minds, I'm going to put a bug in your ear mm-hmm. because now the HOA industry is looking at using drones to look for violations in people's yards. If mm-hmm. they don't see it, they want to have a drone there. Is that something you think that they might decide to do at some point, or have they been put in their place?
The whole drone issue is of great concern on so many different levels.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, I can't speak for all of these, you know, groups, because like I said, I mean, if it wasn't for the conservation program, we wouldn't have the public parks that, you know, so many families and individuals are able to go to and enjoy. But I can tell you that this particular group has proven itself to engage in activity that, in my case, was abusive of their power and invaded our privacy and violated our property rights, and was just really, I think, heartbreaking, because I had no idea. My family had no idea that all of this was going on behind closed doors. None. And when we found out about it, it really made me question how it's possible that these groups have no oversight or transparency or accountability, that they are able to engage in the ability to have any oversight over vast amounts of land when they would try to engage in these kinds of activities that were so abusive.
They're sleazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really sleazy. But you managed to get legislation passed.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. you had some legislators who actually were very upset by what was happening
yes.
to you and decided that they were going to put a stop to it. So congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That. And I would like you to tell us a little bit about them. I know Brenda Polk was one of the...
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'd like to have her on some.
Oh, absolutely. And absolutely. And I'll tell you, it was... You know, and I always tell folks there are very, really good people
yeah.
in our elected offices
yes.
and in the Virginia General Assembly. And I was really humbled and blessed to witness these incredible leaders that stepped forward and said, you know, this makes sense. We really need to do this. But it wasn't just the elected officials. It was members of the conservation community, members of the environmental conservation community in the state that worked together to craft this legislation. And it was really inspiring to witness that, to see that within these programs that there are great leaders that understand how important it is, not just to conserve and protect the natural resources, but to protect the landowner so that they're not abused in the process. And to witness that really was heartwarming and it gave me a lot of hope. And it really gave me a lot of confidence moving forward. That, you know, at least now, if these abuses continue, there's somewhere to go.
So there's some oversight. Is that what the bill does?
Well, what it does is it provides a venue so that if you're a farmer or a landowner and you have, you know, one of these conservation easements, and, for example, in my case, you know, how our rights were so abused and yeah. trespassed on and we were so violated and, you know, everything from, you know, selling us the farm, telling us at an inflated value that it Stonewall Jackson bivouacked on our farm, to wanting to install surveillance cameras to spy on us, to demanding to look in our bathrooms and our closets and our cupboards, to colluding and conspiring, entering into a secretive confidential agreement with realtors over my farm. All of these things, had this been in place, we could have gone before this board and said, we're being abused. Our rights are being trespassed on. You know, what does what's in my closet have to do with the environment or conservation? Right? I mean, really, like what,
yeah.
you know, what does what's in my cupboard have to do with conservation or the environment? And, you know, why is an environmental land trust discussing my mortgage on my property? Why are they discussing how to help realtors with regard to my property? What in the world would give them the authority to do that? And think about how menacing and threatening and bullying that is. There was nowhere to go. There was nowhere to go. And now at least there's a forum, a venue, and we feel very grateful and honored and blessed to have been able to witness the good work so many people did to create that opportunity.
Who's on this panel? Who's on this board?
The panel consists of the head of conservation and recreation for the state. It consists of members of the environmental community and also individuals that are not part of the agricultural community.
Okay, good.
And it's bipartisan or nonpartisan. And, you know, I know that initially when the bill was launched, there were many individuals that said, whoa, wait a minute. You know, it's stacked with people in the environmental community, in the conservation community. If it's just lowly me and I'm just a small, you know, family farmer that's just
yeah.
struggling to get by and make ends meet, if I were to bring forward an issue where, for example, the PEC was abusing my family, if the cards seem stacked against the property owner, the family farmer, I can understand how some people have that thought, but I truly believe in my heart that bringing together so many individuals on a panel that includes both elected and unelected individuals, I truly believe that it's an opportunity where issues can be thoroughly heard, and that, you know, just having this venue places a group like the PEC on notice that they can no longer abuse their power and authority because it gives landowners somewhere to go. It will be made known.
So if you have a problem and you go to them and they have a meeting or a hearing,
right,
or your particular complaint, will they be open to the public? So can the public sit there and watch them deliberate and listen to the complaint and follow up,
yes,
and find out what's,
yes,
going on? So there will be additional eyes on,
yes,
on the prop. On
and frankly, that's how it should be. The whole whole idea behind, you know, conservation and preservation and you know, these easements is that it's supposed to be in the public's best interests. And how can it be in the public's best interests if this land trust is secreted away and, you know, their communications are secreted away? Unless you sue them to get discovery, you can't issue a Freedom of Information request. That on many different levels is something that needs to change. It needs to be that these organizations are subject to the Freedom of Information Act, and really that they need to be reviewed. They need to be reviewed on a regular basis, because if they're truly acting in the interests of the public, well, they shouldn't be entering into secretive confidential agreements with realtors, yeah, over a piece of property that they have an interest in. They shouldn't be engaging in communications about a landowner's mortgage that has nothing to do with the environment or conservation.
No, it
they
doesn't.
Shouldn't be engaging in communications on you know, harassing and spying on individual landowners that violates their privacy and their rights. I mean, these things should not be secreted away or swept under the carpet, because it can happen to anybody. And we need to do everything we can to protect and preserve our most fundamental rights. And that means having the ability to have quiet enjoyment on the land you own and worked so hard to achieve and fill the American dream.
What an idea. What a concept.
Yeah.
We're talking to Martha Bonetta, family farmer extraordinaire. Martha, obviously the PAC has other easements on,
yes,
other farms.
Yes.
Did they go after any of the other farmers that you know of?
I do know of various situations. I cannot speak to them.
No.
But I can tell you that I'm not alone in feeling that I've been bullied by this organization.
And the other farmers, will they be able to go and get some relief now? Have their story.
I mean, it's
still
an option to them.
It's an
option to anybody that has a conservation easement to, if they choose to. It's completely optional. If they choose to, they can exercise the ability to go, issue a complaint or a clarification. Or it could just be, look, these conservation easements are supposed to last forever. Forever is a long time. Who's to say 100 years from now how we're farming? You know, it could very well be that 100 years from now, a term that was used in today's day and age is no longer the case. And so it could just be not so much a complaint, but a clarification. It could be, a clarification about terminology or use that just was not envisioned.
Now, these easements are forever. There's no way of extinguishing them or amending them or changing them or anything like
that? There are ways to amend them. And certainly, if they're based on fraud, and if they're based on fraud, they should absolutely, in my opinion, be extinguished. Because we cannot have an entire society or culture based on something that is not foundationally grounded in truth, justice, or the American way. And if a conservation easement is created based on fraud, then in my opinion, it should be extinguished, because innocent people, innocent families shouldn't be harmed, and they shouldn't sacrifice everything they've worked so hard for because they believed in what they were told, and in fact, it was something entirely different.
No, I totally agree with you. And I think that people, you know, things change. As you mentioned, the farming practices are going to change. From everything I've read, you've sort of taken the farm back to the way, the old-fashioned way of doing things. So it's a small farm, and it's being handled like a family farm, basically.
It's 64 acres. We don't use any chemicals in any of our production. We do almost everything by hand, really. I mean, we have a tractor to make hay with, but it's a lot of hard work, some of the most rewarding work I've ever done in my life. It's physically backbreaking, but I feel very blessed and grateful to have the opportunity to work the land. And, you know, I connect with the animals and I connect with the food, the local food. And, you know, honeybees, we are losing our honeybees at an epic rate all across the globe. And to be able to contribute in a small way by having apiaries on our farm, that really means a lot to me. And to be able to allow families and individuals and people from all over, they come from all over the D.C. metropolitan area to come to Liberty Farm. And, you know, I always say, you know, Liberty is alive and well here on the farm. Liberty grows here on the farm. Mm-hmm. And but it took a lot of work. And I think that if we're not fighting with everything we have passionately, zealously, to protect our most fundamental rights, then we will lose them. And so, you know, I never take anything for granted. And I just really encourage people to become engaged, to become active. You know, we talked a little bit about how, you know, we all have our own pulpit.
Yeah.
We all have our own voice and our own ability to make a difference. And you know, it just takes one person to stand up and say, you know, this isn't right. You know, this is not right. This is not founded on truth, justice, and the American way. We must correct this wrong. It just takes one person to do that. And from there, others will have the confidence and the strength and the courage to stand up as well and create, you know, true liberty.
So you stood your ground. Mm-hmm. You did not back down.
No.
Even in the face of all of these bullies and all, you know, you must have had doubts at some point.
You know, I think because what this group did to our family was so egregious. It was so egregious and so abusive and so invasive and so intolerable that I knew in my heart, I prayed about it. I've spent a lot of time thinking about it, and I always kept the faith. I always knew in my heart that this huge injustice would have to be corrected because it was so egregious and over the top. And having said that, you know, in terms of, well, you know, what's more egregious? You know, any threat to your property rights, your individual, your ability to have quiet enjoyment, true freedom on your property is a threat. And should not be tolerated, any threat. But in my case, it was so egregious and so over the top that, you know, I've had people contact me from all over the country and say how inspired they were to not give up and how thankful they were to witness, you know, a positive ending, a happy ending to what was a very sad, you know, story of real true tyranny and overregulation and abuse of power and how happy and encouraged they were that this would give them hope and opportunity, you know, for the future. And there's a short mini film.
I was going to get to that. I wanted to. Okay. Tell us about the film.
There's a short mini film that was created. It spans the footage is over the course of, you know, several years that my family's been fighting this for 8 years. We've been fighting this abuse of power and
from the beginning.
From the beginning. There was never a day when we felt true peace on the farm. And, you know, we've been deprived. We've been deprived of 8 years of truly being able to achieve our goals, you know, to truly be able to have peace and enjoyment and to have a thriving farming business, because small family farmers are small businesses. And we've had this threat and this bullying constantly since day one. And, you know, there came an opportunity to document my experiences. And I felt very humbled that there would be an interest in what was happening. And so the last several years have been documented and put together in a documentary. And I'm just beyond words to know that my documentary is being one of the films being featured at Freedom Fest, which will take place in July in Las Vegas. It's an annual event. It's one of the largest gatherings of liberty and freedom-minded individuals in the nation. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to have my story told. And I hope that it inspires and gives hope to many people to never, ever give up and to never stop fighting for what they believe in and to keep the American dream alive.
You sued the PAC at one point, and then they wanted to squelch you. They didn't want you to be able to talk about what the lawsuit.
Correct. Yeah, well, they wanted to have some sort of a confidentiality, a gag order, if you will. Gag order is a common term, but they filed pleadings with the court to prevent the public from having access to what they were producing. And I want everyone to think about that. This is a 501c3 nonprofit public charity that receives public funding for the purpose of protecting and preserving farmland. And they wanted to keep the public from knowing what they were disclosing. And that really spoke to me. Because if you're acting in the best interest of the public,
you're supposed to be representing the public.
And you're representing the public.
And you don't want them to know
what you're
up to.
What do you have to hide?
And you don't want them to know what you're
up to. Exactly. Exactly. It's not a private individual. We're talking about a public charity that receives millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars.
A charity.
And that oversees, thousands of acres of farmland. And that has engaged in very abusive acts of my family and my family farm. And to not allow the public to be privy, to experience and witness and read all of this documentation was stunning. It was stunning.
Is there a gag order or is it all open?
We are in the middle of mediation. So
we're still, it's still
yeah,
ongoing.
So I am not able to disclose any of what's happening within the mediation. I can tell you that the story that is depicted in the documentary is one that is happening in different scales, different ways. This land grabbing, this threat to the small family farmer, the engagement between an environmental group and the local county officials and realtors. Similar situations do happen, and it's very sad to witness what goes on that most people have no idea unless you're in litigation, unless they're exposed in the Freedom of Information Act, unless there's full blown audits and investigations. Most people have no idea that these types of things happen, and so it's been heartbreaking to witness and know that these things took place. But at the same time, my heart is warmed and I'm hopeful because I've been able to witness good people in the General Assembly that care deeply about the citizens in the Commonwealth of Virginia and care deeply about what kind of a precedent this creates for across the nation in terms of conservation programs. Because think about it like this. If nothing was done about what happened, then basically it was like endorsing that activity.
Yeah.
And what kind of a precedent does that create for good conservation and preservation across the nation if we turn a blind eye to this type of abuse and this type of gross violation of power? And so I think that that's really, what was very inspirational to me was to witness that sincere, heartfelt concern about, what does this say about conservation? What does this say about conservation programs? Who in their right mind would get a conservation easement knowing that these things have happened and there's been no justice? There's been no, nothing's been done to make the farmer whole. There's no opportunity to have a landowner, farmer have anywhere to go. And so I think that being able to witness great leaders that truly were outraged and wanted very much to prevent anything like this from happening again to anybody else was inspirational and really gives me hope.
Well, some of your neighbors and friends also stood out there with pitchforks one day.
Yes.
So it was the community that came by and supported you initially. And I think that just seeing that.
It was unbelievable. I mean, I I have to tell you that I'm forever grateful. I mean, families drove miles. Some of them drove from the North Carolina border, from our bordering states that were Virginia residents. They drove all the way to our state's capital, brought their children, took time off from work. They took their vacation time to come to Richmond to be heard. Thousands and thousands and thousands of citizens wrote letters, signed petitions, made phone calls. There were protests in Fauquier County, in Richmond. There were hearings. There were people standing room only. It was unbelievable. And it was such a great blessing for me to witness how much people really do care and how much, you know, our family farmers are valued, our property rights are valued, how injustice, when it's before you, you know, that video of demanding to inspect my closet, it was visceral. Yeah. Because if it could happen to me, it could happen to anybody.
Yeah.
And I think that, knowing that this group wanted to install video cameras.
That's unbelievable.
The knowing that they had engaged in a secret contractual arrangement with realtors, knowing that they had, were included in discussions of contacting my mortgage. I mean, the extent that these folks went to, the fact that Stonewall Jackson, the fact that they created it, this significant historic designation on my property, when there's no historical evidence that happened exactly at that point on the property in this grove of trees on the hilltop, it was visceral. And the reaction was, this is unacceptable. We cannot tolerate this as a culture and a society. Something has to be done because it could happen to us next. And I felt this great sense of community and fellowship. It crossed political boundaries.
Yeah.
It was every political party coming together, and really it was an opportunity for people to have a voice and to say, this is unacceptable. What happened here in Fauquier County, in Paris, Virginia, at Liberty Farm, is something that we never want to have happen again, and we demand protections. We demand protections for the average Virginia citizen, the American voter, the Virginia voter that just wants to be left alone in peace, that just wants to have quiet enjoyment on their land and their property that they work so hard for, without having the constant threat and terror of a group like this constantly imposing abuse of power over them. And to witness all of these people coming together was such an extraordinary blessing. I'm humbled. I'm so grateful. And people come now to the farm from every corner. And, they want to come and they want to be photographed on the farm because it's an inspiration. It's a story that really brings hope. And what I've been hopeful for as well is that it is indicative of how we should never, ever, ever, ever give up. And in the face of tyranny, in the face of abuse, to be faithful and hopeful and to stand strong and to not give up.
We've got about 2 minutes. I want you to give everybody your suggestion. I mean, don't give up, but how do you just take a deep breath and keep going when I'm sure at times there are times when you don't want to keep going?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I'm a very faithful person. And it's, my faith in God, my family, and my friends. But I also really think it's important to have to engage in the community. Grassroots is where it's all at. Grassroots is what it's all about, and community engagement. Become involved in local organizations throughout the state. There's various organizations that you can become a member of throughout the country really fight for protecting our most fundamental rights that include property rights. And become engaged in your community, and start up a newsletter. Highlight things that are happening in your community. Create a network base where you have a voice and that you can give each other a voice. And, that's how we as a culture and as a society are able to really protect what means the most to all of us, is by having a voice in our communities and engaging the community and getting them involved. And so, I recommend getting as involved as much as you can, whether it's through, places of worship, whether it's through the school communities, whether it's through, various, civic and local organizations.
And talk about it. Talk
yes.
about what's happening,
mm-hmm.
because people,
yes.
you can't fight this under cover of darkness.
Absolutely. And we have a duty to shine light on darkness. And it's through fellowship that we can really bring light. And it's just been such an honor to have the opportunity to share this with you and with everybody. And I'm hopeful that anyone listening will reach out to me. Would you like me to share my contact information?
Absolutely. Share your contact information. You also have a phenomenal Facebook
yes.
page where
uh-huh.
you can see lots and lots of pictures of
yes.
the smiling Martha.
Yes.
And you'll know I'm not lying.
Yes. So my website is MarthaBonetta.com. And my email is martha@marthabonetta.com, and that's B like boy, O-N-E-T-A. And there's a Facebook page. You could just search Martha Bonetta, and it'll pop up. And I hope to hear from many individuals. And again, Shu, thank you. Thank you for this forum, for the voice you give to so many people, for your relentless love of protecting property rights for all, and for everything you've done to contribute to our community. It's just an honor and a privilege to be here today.
Thank you so much, Martha. If you can't be free and safe in your own home, you've lost it. So mm-hmm. just protect that right. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
Joining us.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.